south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
Yeah, so I know this show is going out a couple of days after Thanksgiving. Even so, I'd like to make a few comments about the way gringos and expats spend Thanksgiving holidays here in Latin America. Yeah, it's true, most gringos and expats carry that custom with them once they get that plan B going. Now, Latinos themselves don't celebrate Thanksgiving. But they know we do, and they call it Dia del Pavo. That means Turkey Day, the day of the turkey. But for gringos and expats down here, there's no shortage of restaurants that throw a simulated Thanksgiving dinner just for Americans. And it is, you know, a good excuse to have a party, isn't it? Though if you think about North Americans coming down to Latin America and celebrating Thanksgiving, that doesn't seem logical, does it? Because just by getting out of Dodge, rejecting the idea of living in the States, the new meaning of Thanksgiving has superseded its original purpose. That's the way I look at it, if you're into the holiday to actually give thanks for something, not just because it's a day off to stuff your face and watch football. That day of thanks was originally based on gratitude for landing in the New World and enjoying its freedoms and bounties. Hey, all you expats out there, does that ring a bell? So for sure, some gringos celebrating Thanksgiving in Latin America are doing it because they're thankful they got the hell out of Dodge. And it does take a lot of planning and fortitude to get a plan B off the ground. That means most Americans that are down here permanently obviously think the good old US of A doesn't have much to offer them anymore. Or they wouldn't have spent so much time, effort, and dough to get the hell out of Dodge. And the idea of Thanksgiving, you know the origins. It's about thanking God, Buddha, Krishna, Allah, whatever, for being able to land in that new bountiful country called America and getting a second chance at life after having a really rough time back in Europe, back in the old country. So looking at it that way, celebration for gringos and expats in Latin America would be in order. Though for some, if not most, it's just another reason to have a party. So anyway, we do bring that custom of Thanksgiving with us. And most of us will admit, if we don't do some kind of version of the Thanksgiving dinner thing, we'd feel kind of strange and empty on that day. Now, as for me, I've been down here a long, long time, and I've been to many of those restaurant-style Thanksgiving dinners. Unfortunately, they come up short. Though, almost all the big first-world hotel franchise chains offer some form of Thanksgiving on that day, they do fall short, especially on the fixins, the side dishes. You know, the stuffing, cranberry sauce, pumpkin pie. Though you can go to Walmart or Costco, called Price Mart down here, and find their substandard versions of that stuff during Thanksgiving week. It's never like mom or grandma did it. But you can get all that stuff down here. You can get everything down here in some form or another. Hormonally injected butterball turkeys, too. Butterball turkey. I wonder who came up with that name. It sounds good. Sounds natural and wholesome, right? Have you ever looked at the mandatory ingredient tag on a butterball turkey? They made the print font microscopically small so as not to scare that 1% of people who might actually want to read the label and find out the kind of crap they're injecting into those things. Man, and I thought supercalifragilisticexpialidocious was the longest word in the English language until I read the label on a butterball turkey. They've got a half a dozen words that beat that one out. But I digress as usual. Though I did want to drive home the fact that there's almost nothing you can't get down here in Latin America that's available up in the States. As Dickens might say, the best of stuff and the worst of stuff. Like, for example, all the fixins for a Thanksgiving dinner, including all the preservatives, antibiotics, hormones, and additives. Or, and this I really like, you can go down to one of the big markets. Go down to the area where they have the live chickens and poultry. Pick out a turkey either, dead or alive. Yeah, you can pick out a live one and they'll whack it right there for you. I personally don't have the stomach for that. A lot of people don't. That said, a lot of newbie gringos are surprised. They've got turkeys down here. In fact, I've seen a few wild ones out in the boonies myself. They are indigenous to Central America, you know. Anyway, you go down to one of the big markets, they've always got a live animal section. If you want to know how to find it, just follow your nose. That barnyard smell, you know, is unmistakable. Anyway, if you buy a turkey at one of the big markets, you'll be skipping all those wonderful preservatives and additives you've been used to for so many years. Though there are some Americans I know who will taste a turkey like that and say, something about this just ain't right. Most likely because they've never tasted a turkey that hasn't been injected with a chemical cocktail. But if you live down here long enough and shop at those big markets, soon enough you'll get used to the way natural, homegrown food is supposed to taste. Speaking about being down here long enough to appreciate unadulterated food, or mostly unadulterated food, I'll explain. Yeah, they use fertilizer and insecticides down here, but oh so sparingly because, hell, that stuff costs money. And the little mom-and-pop farmers and truck farmers down here are always living on the edge, just barely making ends meet. And they watch their expenditures like nobody's business. That's why, as disgusting as it sounds, chicken poop fertilizer is really big down here. Small-time farmers use it all the time. Keep that in mind next time you shake hands with a farmer. Hey, don't knock it. It's all natural and organic. However, do note, right around election time, talking about the big national elections, the presidential ones that come around every 4 or 5 years, depending on the country, that's when the rubber meets the road regarding fertilizer. Because right before election time, you longtime listeners have heard me say this before, all of a sudden flatbed trucks start showing up in the poor pueblos out in the boonies. And sacks of fertilizer are handed out to the local farmers. And the stacks they're giving away are stamped with oversized political party slogans. So you know who you can thank in the voting booth for that freebie favor. So that's why, if you're wondering why the growing season right after the presidential election is more productive and bountiful than normal, it's because poor farmers are dousing their fields with that free fertilizer. Of course, none of that happens in Venezuela, Cuba, or Nicaragua, because for them, when election time comes around, there is no opposing party. So you don't need to buy or bribe anyone for a vote. But you knew that already, right? Or did you? All right, so today we're going to start with an email I think you're going to like, because it hits on a theme that so many expat gonna-bes and wannabes are interested in, that they're wondering about. The question on most everyone's mind, one of the main questions anyway, when fresh green gringos first get down here, is this: how long is it going to take for me to fit in, for me to feel comfortable with my plan B and my decision to ditch everything and come down? How long will I feel displaced, like a fish out of water? Because we all feel slightly out of sorts when we first get down. Especially if you're like the vast majority of gringos and expats and your Spanish sucks. Now, of course, if you left the US or Canada and landed on the gringo tourist trail, it won't be much of a culture shock to you. It won't take much to fit in, because you'll be around scads of people in the same boat, and certainly you'll be able to survive there without knowing any Spanish at all. Now, I know I've said this before too, but it just amazes me how many gringos I meet who've been down here 5, even 10, 15 years, who don't know enough Spanish to have a conversation with their cleaning lady. Yet they're the same people who get pissed off at immigrants who land in the U.S. who never learn English. I say you've got no right to gripe about that until you learn decent Spanish yourself. All right, let's get to this email. You're going to like it. It's from a guy who came to one of my expat insider seminars something like 7 or 8 years ago. And after that, it took him a couple of years to get his ducks in line. But he got his plan B started and got the hell out of Dodge. Like so many of us, he procrastinated but finally made it down. And he writes this email reporting in because he's been in Latin America a grand total of 1 year. It's his 1 year anniversary. Oh, and I might add 1 year of living way off the gringo tourist trail. He starts off by saying, "Hey Johnny, Joe Kano here. I know I've been dark for a few months, but there's been some personal things going on here that have made it hard to reach out to you. But all has been resolved. Anyway, yesterday I was at the Latin American Costco called Price Mart, and I was informed that I need to renew my membership. You know what that means. I've been here for a year. My, how time flies. 1 year. Good excuse to have a party. So you might be asking, what have I learned down here in 1 year? Well, today for you, Johnny, I have my top 10 list. Let me give you the highlights. Number one, this is the most important thing too. Make sure you have a good lawyer. They will be a solid foundation for you to do everything else here in Guatemala. That's where I am. But I'm sure it goes for all of Latin America. Now, you may only use the guy or gal every so often, or you may be in contact with him or her all the time, like me. But the important thing is having them for emergencies. I've called my lawyer, Jose, the friendly seminar lawyer, for things ranging from starting a new business to getting me out of a jam with the cops. Yep, we all have those days, you know. Well, I do anyway. So kudos to my lawyer, Jose. Not only is he a great lawyer, but a great friend. All right, me Johnny here, just to inject a little comment. It's a fact you will get frustrated with your lawyer, whoever he or she is. Even if you really like the guy, your relationship will have its moments. Because in many ways, they're not like lawyers up in the States. They're on mañana time, all of them. So you'll have to keep track of the things you've got going with him. Because, for example, he might say, "I'll get back to you in a couple days on whatever." And a week, even two will go by and you'll think, "Something's wrong, he dropped the ball." When in reality, a couple days for a lawyer down here does mean a week, two, or even three. So don't get pissed. Get used to it. So my advice, just have your lawyer on speed dial, if that still exists. I guess I'm showing my age. Now let's see, where did I put my beeper? You know, I remember way back when beepers first came out, people said they were just for criminals and drug dealers. Then, after about a year or so, every doctor and lawyer had one, and then common people too. Sounds a lot like Bitcoin, doesn't it? But where were we? Oh yeah, Latin lawyers. Oh, and here's a perfect example. Just the other day, I was talking to a Latin lawyer who was getting some paperwork apostilled for me. I needed it for a real estate deal. You know about apostilling documents, right? You need to know how to do that when you go for residency. Anyway, he was supposed to have it done a couple of weeks back, so I called him up. We were talking a while about certain other things, and he didn't even mention he missed that paperwork deadline by a few weeks. And finally, towards the end of the conversation, when I mentioned it, he said, "Oh, yeah, well, I forgot to tell you. I got the paperwork back," he said, "but one of the government processors made a mistake, so they're doing it again, which means there goes another couple of weeks in the crapper." So in reality, he didn't drop the ball at all. Some government slug did. And no matter how pissed off I might have been about the whole thing, and I really wasn't because I know how things go down here, you have to realize, bitching and complaining won't help things go any faster. This is Latin America. Things roll the way they roll. And believe me, I've seen many gringos and expats just blow their tops at lawyers. And all it does is put you at a higher risk for a stroke, not him. And it seems to be a huge topic of discussion whenever a bunch of gringos get together. Everyone's got a Latin lawyer saga or drama. The fact is, though, every time your lawyer needs to get government paperwork, and that's exactly what he does, right? That's his job, or most of it. You can't get that stuff unless your Spanish is perfect, and still, you might not be able to. You got to pay him to do it. Well, there's a big chain of events, and a huge, long process to get paperwork from government. It goes through many hands, many agencies, often many departments. That's why you see so many signatures and stamps on these things. I know it's totally ridiculous and beyond inefficient, but that's really one of the primary roles of government, any government, to make things more complicated, to expand their reach, hire more people, grow like cancer. And that really is the basic reason why Latin Americans are so calm and collected while standing in lines. It's because of their own shiftless, corrupt, lazy-ass governments. They're the ones who bred and perfected the mañana time culture. So you can get pissed, get high blood pressure and a stroke over it, or you can let it flow the way it's going to flow. Either way, you're not going to change the system. That's why I say when you first get down here, things like that will irritate you. But try not to let it get to you too much. I know that's easy to say, but our emailer, Joe Cano, who has been down just a year now, seems to have gotten over that hump just fine. All right, in his lessons learned in 1 year, here's Joe Cano's lesson number 2. He says, rent a house for at least 6 months before you even think about buying it. You've been saying this for 8 years plus now, Johnny, and I'm happy to have listened. My first house was not too far away from you, by the way. A great house, quiet neighborhood, safe as the day is long. Even had a giant park with several different walking trails. It was beautiful. I hated it. I found myself having or wanting to go to the city almost every day, which meant sitting in traffic for 2 to 3 hours a day. I had to time my life around the traffic. If I'd bought a house there, I'd be stuck. But Jose the lawyer made sure I had a nice little escape clause in my housing lease, just in case. It was relatively painless to break that lease and move out. Which brings us back to point number 1, have a good lawyer. Now for point number 3. He says this tip is related to point number 2, but slightly different. If you're picky on where you live or are looking for something specific like me, I wanted a specific type of house in a specific zone in the city with a yard for my dogs. Not an easy task to find in the big city. You need a good realtor. So I churned through about a dozen useless realtors before I found an amazing one. Her superpower is actually listening to the things that I tell her. Imagine that. All joking aside, she's wonderful, speaks English, and is a dentist, but got bored with it. Now she helps gringos and high net worth individuals find houses. I'll use her for my real estate in the future, and I'm happy to pass her information along to you or anyone if you like. Thanks to her, I live in the best part of the city, the most exclusive zone. Rent is a bit more, of course, but it's still way less than rent in my old city up in the States. And I have a yard for my dogs, too. All right, now we have tip number 4 concerning things he's learned in the last year living in Guatemala. About doing business here. Yep, there are business ideas everywhere you look. You just have to get out a bit to see them. If you can't see them, I'm sorry to say you might be blind or maybe shouldn't have a business in the first place. Some of us aren't made for that, you know. In fact, I just thought of a business regarding blind people. Yep, just today, says Joe K. Just to prove a point, You mentioned on a recent show, Johnny, those zipper belts, the leather ones that you seem to be only able to get at Lake Atitlan in Guatemala. I'm making a point of tracking those things down. Make a deal with the guy who makes them. Open up an online store. It really is just as easy as saying, just do it. And if doing or going into business just isn't your thing, you really could earn a decent living teaching English online. There are plenty of rich kids here whose parents will pay. All right, me, Johnny, here again with my two cents on the ever-changing world of teaching English to kids. Well, for those of you guys and gals out there who've heard that teaching kids online, meaning Chinese kids online, that was the biggest business. Well, that's dead in the water. The Chinese government has shut that business down. But still, there are great opportunities. I'll tell you what, within a month's time, I'll bet you a Bitcoin. Well, maybe a tenth of a Bitcoin. That I could have a full schedule of kids, upscale Latin kids from the local area, whose parents will pay for them to learn English the gringo way. That is, from a real live gringo, not in school, from a Latin person whose second language is English. And you could find those kids the old school way, too, by just going to the supermarkets and malls in upscale areas, locating their big bulletin board, they've all got one or two, and putting a nice little blurb with a tear-off sheet on there. You know what I'm talking about. Of course, you'd have to throw together a website so they could check in with you. But these days, man, that'll cost you less than $50 to put the whole thing together. In fact, if you live in a fairly upscale neighborhood, and most gringos and expats do, I'm talking about the definition of upscale neighborhoods, Latin style. That'd be middle class up in the States. You could probably recruit quite a few kids from your own neighborhood. So next time you're in Latin America, just check out the big upscale supermarkets. For example, in Guatemala, that would be La Torre. And have a look at the bulletin board. People have blurbs there selling cars, offering yoga classes, you name it. And that's where you'd put your gringo English teacher available blurb. And just a little bit of creativity will go a long way because you'll have no competition. All right, and then our man Joe Kano, who's been living in Guatemala exactly 1 year, talks about crypto. Point number 5. He says, Johnny, as for crypto, I really don't need to elaborate too much. Just a little. I've watched this space grow like crazy over the past year to 18 months. And I'm happy to report I've made an embarrassing amount of money in crypto. The future is coming, and it looks good if you're in crypto. If you're still on the fence about it, listen to this. I had the opportunity way back when to buy Bitcoin at 25 cents. It's close to $60,000 now. Yeah, that's right. I'm saying I could have bought it for a measly quarter. Though I couldn't figure out back then how to do it, so I put the idea on the back burner. But I'm serious. If I had Captain Mango to hold my hand back then, I'd have enough dough right now to buy a small country. So take my advice. Don't sit on the sidelines of crypto. Don't be like me. It's not a good feeling to watch other people get those gains. You have the help and resources at your fingertips right down here in Latin America. Just look at what they're doing in El Salvador. Don't procrastinate. Don't waste your time just thinking about it. Life-changing opportunities like this only come around once in a couple of generations, and it's not too late. You might be hearing a lot of buzz about crypto right now, but it still is just starting. All right, me, Johnny, with a comment. You know, people will say to me, yeah, I should have got in early. The top is in, so there's no more big money to be made. I say, man, you couldn't be more wrong. We're only just getting started. It reminds me way back when the first few McDonald's popped up in Chicago. I remember my dad and his buddies talking when I think there was only 3 McDonald's in Chicago at the time. I heard one of them say, yeah, some people have all the luck. Too bad we couldn't have got in on the ground floor of that. Even though, get this, back then, at that very same time in the 60s, McDonald's was selling additional franchises for $25,000. And these guys, my dad's buddies, were talking as if the market was saturated, when here there were only 3 McDonald's in all of Chicagoland. And by 1980, just within the Chicago city limits, there were over 100, and they were all jamming, making big money. And the franchise fees jumped from $25,000 to $500,000. And here my dad and his brilliant buddies passed on McDonald's. They thought 3 in a city the size of Chicago was too many. The moral of that story? Well, you know the moral of that story. I know. Now, I'm going to get some emails now from people saying they would never, ever eat at McDonald's. It's poison. It's toxic. Hey, I'm with you. I totally agree. I'm just pointing out an example here. All right, now for Joe Kano's point number 6, what he's learned about Latinos after living down in Guatemala for 1 year. He says, Johnny, Guatemalans are the second nicest people on the planet, unless they're behind the wheel driving. In almost every other case, they'll bend over backwards to make you happy, with a smile on their faces, too. But they will frustrate the hell out of you on the road. And I'm making a big effort here to be kind, to be nice with my language. I'll tell you, Johnny, and I'll tell the world, driving in Guatemala, not just in the city, but in the country, is like driving in Los Angeles on steroids at night with no brakes and no lights. One thing you must realize if you're going to drive down here, if you drive defensively, you will not get far. It'll take you twice as long to get anywhere you want to go. I found out quickly you need to assert yourself on the road. For example, your turn signal. If you decide to use it, it's not a request, not any longer. It's a declaration of intent with no guarantee of follow-through. I repeat, don't be timid and don't be sorry if you are aggressive. I've found if you rent a car for a few weeks, that's more than helpful. But make sure it's got car insurance. I say make your mistakes with someone else's car before you go out and buy one. Okay, it's me again, and for my 2 cents, Joe K did mention car insurance. Unless you buy a brand new car or one that's maybe 1 or 2 years old, do not get full coverage. Buy strictly third-party liability. It'll cost you maybe $150 to $200 a year. And even though full coverage might cost you $400, $500, $600, or $700 a year, depending on the value of your car, even if it seems a lot cheaper than in the U.S., it's almost never worth it. And why is that? Well, if you think it's difficult to get an insurance company up in the first world to pay a claim, you ought to see how tough it is to get them to pay out here in Latin America. That's why I always say, even if you have a nice car in decent condition that's a couple of years old, it's almost never worth it. I'd still skip full coverage. Since bodywork is so cheap, you almost never hit your deductible. For example, just 2 years ago, I had my car sideswiped. Two doors and two fenders dented and creased. I was lucky there were no broken lights or mirrors. Cost me around $400 to get it fixed. Imagine that. $400, the whole side of the car. In the States, $2,000 easy. Of course, I only had liability insurance, and if I would have had full coverage, my deductible was around $500. So the repair still would have come out of my pocket. So basically, down here in Latin America, full coverage for your car is only good for two situations: if your car gets stolen or totaled. For regular scratches, dents, and fender benders, it's pretty much the norm for everyone down here. Even if you have full coverage, the insurance company rarely pays out. Why? Because most of that stuff's under $500, and that's your deductible. It's almost as if they planned it that way. All right, then comes Joe Cano's lesson number 7. He says, Johnny, after 1 year down here, here's my observations about motorcycles and traffic cops. In a word, f*** 'em. He says, I know this is related somewhat to point number 6, but motorcycles are a terrible plague here. They live by their own rules, make them as they go along, and when those rules don't work out, they only occasionally default to the regular rules of the road. For example, they use the lines that separate the lanes of the road as their own private lane. And if you hit them or cut them off while they're changing lanes and weaving, the cops will side with them and claim it's your fault. Johnny, I've come to regard motorcyclists as the worst kind of pest, and they should be treated just like cockroaches. For example, we give them the courtesy of our turn signals and our brake lights, and most of them have neither. Speaking of pure pests, those ever-present traffic cops who go by the letters PMT. PMT stands for Policía Municipal Tránsito, meaning Municipal Transit Police. Though Captain Mango says PMT stands for Preventing the Movement of Traffic. He got that right. Captain Mango is always good for a few third-world nuggets of wisdom. He's been down here a lot longer than I have and knows the turf. But after 1 year, I can smell a traffic cop, a PMT, from a mile away. Because when they're up ahead, that's usually how far their idiot moves will back up traffic. All right, that was tip number 7. Here's 8. People here are both terrified and fascinated by my dogs. You see, Johnny, I brought my dogs here from the States, and one of them is a big German Shepherd, right out of Central Casting. He looks intimidating, but if you look at him for more than 3 seconds, you'll see he's just a big kid. Also, a pretty old guy, too. People just stare and keep their distance, though. Though sometimes I don't know if they're keeping their distance from the dog or me. Yes, I knew getting my dogs here from the States would take some doing, but it wasn't too big of a deal. I got to keep them with me on the plane, too, not stowed somewhere with the luggage. I wouldn't do that to my dogs. The trick is to convince the airlines you need your dogs on the plane for emotional support. And now, Johnny, we get to the nitty-gritty. Point number 9. The things I've learned about love and romance in a year in Latin America, specifically Guatemala. You've heard of shooting fish in a barrel and fishing with dynamite, right? Well, now just imagine if you were fishing with dynamite in a barrel. I'm being serious now. It's really as easy as saying hi and letting your gringo advantage take you the rest of the way. I'm not kidding. Why would I make this up? Johnny, I'm not going to call out a list of my successes here in fear of being interpreted as being a braggart or a macho jerk. So instead, I'll tell you about the dating successes of my 66-year-old father, who is also living down here by me now. He also came down with me to your seminar some years ago. Anyway, as for my 66-year-old father, without going into much detail, he has three girlfriends now, aged 46, 38, and 34. And he's been down here only 3 months. It's kind of strange when your dad has a girlfriend younger than you are. So is he doing okay? I'd say he's doing better than okay. And as for single gringa ladies that come down, I see them around all the time. I see them mostly with younger, good-looking Latin guys, too. So it goes both ways here. And wise old Captain Mango gave me another nugget. He once told me the fastest way to learn Spanish is to get a Latina girlfriend. He's absolutely right. There's a bit more to what he said, but we'll keep it PG here. And finally, point number 10. It's perhaps my best tip for newbie gringos. I found out quickly, it really pays off, for me anyway it did, to explore. In fact, Jose, our seminar lawyer, swears I know Guatemala City better than he does. But I made it a point to get out and know my surroundings, that's why. Even in the zones I'm not supposed to be in, I check out sometimes. I don't recommend this for everyone, of course, but I've never once felt unsafe in this country. Not once in an entire year. Even when I'm giving the cops a hard time. So, as for me, when it comes time to get out and party or meet people, I know for the most part where to go, where the fun and hotspots are. In fact, when new people come down to see Lawyer Jose and they want to go out somewhere, he just gives me a call. I can always find great things to do and make sure everyone has a good time. Hey, see? Now there's another business idea. Expat Party Guy Event Coordinator. Think it'll fly? Well, there you have it, Johnny. I've been down here a whole year. And that's my top 10 list of observations. There's more, but I've whittled it down to 10. Oh, and just one final thought, Johnny. I'm on board to be a driver at your next seminar so people can pick my brain if they want. Signed, Joe Kano. P.S. After living 1 year here in Guatemala, I only have one big regret. Not moving here in 2013 when I first came to your seminar. I wasted 8 years thinking about it, trying to prepare, when I could have come down here right then and there and been so much happier. Oh, and Johnny, please send me the solar power updated info you have. Signed, Joe K. All right, Joe, real good information there, and I'm glad your plan B's working out so well for you. And your dad. I kind of knew it would. And I'll send that solar stuff off to you in a day or two.
You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, we can schedule a one-on-one phone or Skype consult. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to get on the waiting list for my next week-long Expat Insider Seminar in Central America, where you're guaranteed to get a 2 to 5 year head start on your Plan B, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.